Listening Dog Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it's somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Our final guest of the series is a man who I spent 12 years with at Arsenal, winning the Premier League, FA Cup, and League Cup in the process. Welcome, Mr. Lee Dixon.
Seaman's Legends of the Game.
Dicko, I finally got you on my podcast.
Well, if you'd have asked me earlier, I would have come on earlier. I was a bit hurt and offended. I wasn't first on.
You've got the raw gig, in fairness, Lee, after yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. I'm surprised his royalty mates aren't on the pod instead of me.
What did you think of it, Dicko?
I think when you sort of get over the disappointment of it, being penalties, you're so close to winning it. But in all honesty, you know, we didn't deserve to win the final. I thought the Italians were the better side. But I don't really care about what we deserve and what, you know, over the years we've perhaps deserved to do better in other tournaments that we haven't done. You know, the Lampard one over the line. You can go through a load of unlucky things. So I think the side of the draw that we got was favourable, like the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So that was good. So we had a bit of luck there. Seemed like Gareth has got the team playing in such a way and believing and bringing the fans and the press and everybody together as one has really strengthened, you know, England's stature in tournaments. I think people look at us now and we don't seem broken now, which is all he's doing. You know, I think in the past, the press, I mean, when I played back, you know, most of my caps were under Graham Taylor. And I used to, when the letter came through to say that I'd been called up, or the manager pulled you before training and said, oh, you're in the squad, I had a really started heavy feeling in my chest. Because I was like, I knew what was coming. I knew that as soon as we met up with England, you're out of the safe environment of your club that I knew day in, day out. And you're going into an environment where, you know, the press were vile towards the team, and certainly Graham. I felt really sorry for Graham Taylor. He was abused almost as England manager. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a nice environment. So I think that separation between the fans, the press and the players was huge. But I think what Gareth's done is he's brought everybody together, and the press actually want the team to win. And I think that's a big difference, really. That's a tangible difference. And so moving forward, you know, it's progression. We got to the final, semi-final in the World Cup. So the next obvious step is, you know, Qatar and that one.
Actually getting to lift a trophy. I know what you mean. You know, but yeah, I know what you mean about when you used to get together, like whenever you used to do a press interview and that, they always used to feel like they were trying to trip us up.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like, you know, different led questions and stuff like that. Whereas now, the guys aren't afraid to ask. You know, the press guys aren't afraid to ask, and then the players just answer.
Yeah.
And they're not bothered anymore. They don't care about, you know, like trying to be tripped up or whatever. They speak really well in front of camera, and I think all that comes from Gareth, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think what he's, you know, I think coming through the ranks, if you like, from his point of view, helps with the player relationships, because he knows a lot of the younger players. He's had them at under 21s and the levels moving up to the first team. So there's a, you know, they call him Gareth. There's a kind of trust there that he's he's going to be honest to him. I think he's been really honest over him. They're difficult. I spoke to him, you know, before every game. He'd give me a call. You know, I said to him, can I have some help moving forward when I got the ITV co-coms? Because, you know, how difficult it is, you know, getting your notes, making sure you've got, you're sort of on the side of knowing what's happening. And I said, oh, I don't want you to give me the team or whatever beforehand, but...
You're lying.
You did.
But he said, look, I'll help you as much as I can. And I said, and to a day, every single day before a game, we'd arrange to, you know, ring. And if he rang and I missed his call, normally on the golf course, he'd ring me back, you know, 2 hours later. And he goes, yeah, I missed you, Dicko, you know, and he'd give me some information.
Oh.
So I think that, you know, that level of trust he's got with everybody around him, and I think he's built, that takes quite a long time to build that.
Do you think that teams are going to face us differently now? Do you think they're going to treat England? Because if you look at the tournament as a whole, they actually didn't lose a match across 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So when people say about this favourable draw opening up, which I still find difficult to stomach for this one, because Gareth Southgate did all he could to top the group, whereas everyone was saying, I'll try and become runner-up to get an even easier draw, which actually wouldn't have materialised as it happened. Yeah. But do you think now the likes of your Portugals, Belgiums, you're going to be bringing in the Argentina, who've just won the Copa America, Brazil, do you think that those, when they look in the whites of the England players' eyes now, are going to think, actually, they're not fearing us anymore?
Yeah, as long as you didn't watch the final. I genuinely think, as I said, I think we're stronger when we're together, and the fans and the press and the players all sort of singing from the same hymn sheet. And actually, you know, as the goalie said, they're not trying to trip you up. They're asking questions that they want genuine answers to, as opposed to saying, oh, I want you to say something so they can write about it. So I think you know, that I think that is viewed certainly by the foreign football associations as England are a strong unit now, as opposed to, I'm not saying a laughing stock, but there was times, you know, when I was playing that, you know, we were all over the place and things were happening off the pitch and the press were trying to have a go at us, and it was just us, it was an us v them, you know, and we felt as a team, I certainly did, felt really isolated. And didn't particularly enjoy, you know, they should be the best peak times of your footballing career. And I didn't particularly enjoy meeting up with England. It was really pressurised and not a nice pressure. These lads are enjoying the nice pressure of success and trust and all that. And there's always going to be pressure because you've got three lions on your chest. So there's always going to be that. But it was, as I said, everybody outside of the group wants you to do well, and that certainly wasn't the case. So I think, yeah, teams will look at us now in the future and go, wow, semi-final, now they got to a final. You can't not take notice of this England group now, because huge amount of talent. I think maybe looking back, Gareth might look at his each game, because I know how thorough he is looking at, you know, what's gone on and analysing everything. I think he might look back and maybe say, I could have been a little bit more positive with our attacking players. Not as much as the fans want, because I don't think that's possible. They want Grealish, Foden, Mount. You know, they want Saka, Sterling. They want them all to play. You know, and as it happens, you know, we had, at the end of it, we had Rashford right wing back and Sterling left wing back at the end of the game. So... the fans got their wish, but I think there's got to be a balance, and I think he might just turn that a little bit more, say positive's the wrong word, but more attack-based maybe next time out.
But how impressed were you with the defence? You know, because there was big question marks, weren't there, before the tournament? You know, there was a few question marks, actually, like as in Sterling, even Pickford. You know, there was a few that were like, oh, hang on, will they play, or how will he play as in Pickford? But the defence was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I think, you know, I think Gareth was a bit concerned going into it because of Harry Maguire about him being injured, and he was a bit worried. That's why he was tinkering with maybe going back to a three, because I don't think he could rely on, or he felt as if he couldn't rely against the better teams with just two centre-backs. So he was hoping that Maguire would come good at some point during the tournament, which he did, and he came in and was exceptional. So the fact that he's, you know, got a relationship with John Stones now that seems very strong. Walker's one of the best sweep-up men you've got in world football because he's so quick. You know, he's sometimes positionally he's out, but and somebody else is out, but he just, you know, his recovery runs are brilliant. And Shaw has just turned into, you know, the player that Jose Mourinho wished he'd have been at Man United. So he's now knocking the lights out. And so the back four looks really strong at the moment with huge amount of backup with a fifth. I'm the only right fullback that didn't get in the squad, so I'm a bit gutted about that.
So who impressed you the most for England?
I'll probably say Sterling. I think he's, you know, he obviously his goals changed the games that were leading up to the end of the tournament. But I thought his ability to carry the ball and threaten defend, you know, we saw last night even the Italians, as soon as he got the ball and got in the box, there was five around him, but none of them could touch him because he was so scared of giving a penalty away. Or a non-penalty, as we should say. So I think he was pretty impressive. I think, you know, if you look at defensively, they were really strong as a group. You know, Saka made those big impressions when he got into the side. He was obviously, he will never forget this tournament for numerous reasons, but I think he's got to try and put that, you know, to the back of his mind. And he's a kid, you know, he'll forget that. Kid, that won't damage him. That'll only make him better. It'd sort of damage an old fella like me. If I miss one, I'd be like, well, I'm never going to get a chance again to do that. So he's got a million opportunities to score penalties in shootouts again, because he will be there for a long time. So
that's interesting that you say that, because I think that is a lot of England fans' concerns today, is that it's damaged him, that there's a 19-year-old kid in there that had way too much responsibility put on his shoulders. I mean, having this conversation that you've got with Gareth, and considering that Jack Grealish has come out since and said that he did want to take one, I just wondered what was going through in his mind there, because there's not many things that I would question Gareth over this tournament at all, but I think that was the one thing that I don't understand.
Well, you have to take it into context. So we agree that that Gareth's an honest bloke. We agree on that. You know, he's proved that. We agree that the players trust him. All of the players are capable of taking a penalty. It's just kicking a ball 12 yards. It's not that hard.
Just how many it looked difficult to save it, you know.
So if you logically, if you go right, because he wouldn't have said to, you know, we have to all agree on that. He wouldn't have said to Saka, you're taking the last penalty and that's it. He wouldn't have said that to him. So there will have been an element of conversation leading, preparation is key for him. So in training that week, or all of the 4 weeks they've been away, they've been taking penalties. And Saka, even though he doesn't take them for Arsenal, he would have taken them in training and been smashing them in the top corner or doing whatever he does to put them in the net. And at some point, there would have been a conversation about, if it goes to penalties any game, who are our penalty takers? And Gareth would have gone, there's my five if they're still on the pitch. These are the options if these are taken off. I'm telling you, it would have been down to the detail. So find Grealish coming out now and saying, I would have took one. I'm not suggesting this is the case, but in hindsight, those conversations that players say, oh, I would have took them the day after. Normally, when the manager says, who wants to take a penalty, you can't see anybody's hand, let alone, you know, it's one of them.
Do you think it was a moment, though, where he was completely caught up in the football. And that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, because of course it was about winning. But for a manager who's been so in tune with issues in society, his players and what's important to them.
Yeah.
There had been two players who'd both been black and missed a penalty, and we knew there was going to be racist abuse. We knew that from the Rashford one, and fans did online. And there was the fact that he'd missed one himself and the redemption factor. I just wondered if there would have been any of that coming into play when that final kick was being selected, whether it changed his mind.
No, he would have. I guarantee he would have had his five, and then he would have got down. We saw him trying to rush two players on to get take penalties. So they were obviously in his next selection of, right, I'm going to take him off, he's off, so he can't take one. Right, get these two on because they can take. Do you want to take, you were in the group last week to take penalties. Are you okay to take him? Yes, boss, I'm on. Those two come flying on. So you've got those two. You've got Harry Kane. You've got whoever, I forget who else taken, because I'm just trying to make...
Maguire's
penalty was insane, yeah.
Penalty. So you've got those characters. And we've been in penalty shootout groups before they've gone, and goalie will tell you. You know, it's like, it wasn't as sophisticated as all the research that they've done on these ones. And they've had years of looking at penalties, 5 year research packets gone on penalties. They, you know, ours, whoever it was, Arsenal, you know, who fancies one? And it's one of them. Well, no, I don't, you know. You see the hands disappearing, you know, and big characters who you think, oh, I'll take him into a fight with me and we've got to do this. He's next to me. Martin Keown would be one of them. You cannot get him put his hand above his waist when it's penalty. He wants to take a penalty because he's not interested. It's not him. And I'm not having to go at him. I'm just, that's a factual thing. So there's no way that Gareth would have put anybody up there who didn't fancy it. So the fact that he was last, and Gareth made a lot of decisions over the period of the tournament, where at the beginning of the tournament, everyone was going, what's he doing? Why is he playing like that? Why is he doing that? Why isn't Grealish playing? Why isn't this playing? I'm Foden on now. And there was a lot of noise, and he went, this is the team, this is how we're going to play, da, 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 da. And he churned out the results. And as the tournament went on, at any one point where it could have gone wrong against the Germans, you know, when we matched them up, it could have gone wrong. Against the Scots, it nearly went wrong. At any one other point, and he said that in his interviews, I could have quite easily been absolutely ridiculed for that decision. So you go to the penalty shootout and he decides that a 19-year-old is going to take the last penalty. Because a mutual decision, because there's no way Saka would have gone, you know, He might have felt under pressure because he'd said yes in training during the week. At that moment, if you'd have said to him, right, no one's listening now, you said you want to take it and you're going to walk up, you don't have to, you can step behind me, he might well have stepped behind you because he might have gone, I really don't. But at that point, he's made that decision. Gareth's a hero. He goes up and scores. Gareth made another decision, one of those decisions that could have flipped either way. It just so happens that decision knocked us out and lost us the trophy. So you have to put it into context of how important it is. And which, in hindsight, it was all saying, well, 19-year-old shouldn't have took it. He has knocked over every single barrier that Saka has had in front of him. When he shouldn't have been, when people said, oh, he's too young, he's not this, he's that. He carried Arsenal on his back the whole of last season. So one, you know, and it wasn't the worst penalty I've seen. You know, if keeper goes the other way, it goes in. But he read it, and it was at a height that was savable. But it was worse. But I mean, Rashford's was worse because he missed the bloody target.
Yeah, true.
So that goes in, and it's completely different. And then someone else, you know, you go to extra time and have penalties, and somebody else misses or scores. So it's a sliding doors moment. So I wouldn't be critical of his decision to give Saka the... You know, it's easy to jump, 19-year-olds shouldn't be taken. Why not? Because he's no experience. Well, yeah. He's got no fear. He's never taken one before. Because I tell you, when you've taken one in a big game, and I've done this and missed, your next one is 10 times harder than the one that before you missed. So he hadn't missed one before. So in a way, he's kind of got no scar tissue to go over before he hits it. He has now.
That's a big scar now. how do you feel that the final and the loss on penalties will affect them going into the World Cup?
Not at all.
World Cup qualifiers.
I don't think it'll affect them at all. I think it'll. I really believe in what he's created. I think they've got a really solid, you know, base, and they'll all, you know, give their high fives and get that spirit together. I think they all believe in themselves. I don't think it's the only thing is the way the game went. They might look at the game and go, do you know what? It might the realization of we are quite a way off Italy from a team performance point of view. On our best day, we can. But I think they've shown in a tournament they were pretty good most games, weren't they? You know, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
And we were in.
I watched them against I watched them against Belgium and I was like, wow, that was a some performance. And then I watched them against Spain and I thought, well, we've got a chance here. But the Belgium game, I was really impressed. And then, like you say, the way that they kept the ball and they were really neat and tidy. You know, the two defenders, as much as we tried to make them sound really old and, you know, that we could get at them because they'd be vulnerable. They were absolutely brilliant, weren't they, on the night?
They read it brilliantly, didn't they? I mean, what does this mean for Italy then going into the World Cup? Are they now favourites?
Well, they're certainly, when you've got a trophy, you know, to back up your bravado, then, you know, and they've got a bit of that as well, haven't they? They've got a bit of look at us, how good we are, and they are good. They look amazing in their suits and they've all got brilliant. I'm trying to grow my Italian haircut for the World Cup. they'll be up there because they, you know, we saw against Spain that even when they don't, you know, Spain were the better side on that night and they should have won. But the Italians find a way of winning when they don't play well, you know. And we've done that to a certain extent in this tournament, but they've been doing that for years. And this run they're on now, it's not a fluke that they can churn out a win like that. So I think, yeah, definitely. But, you know, as you said before, Lindsay, the World Cup's a different ball game again. It's a different format. You know, that in some ways the European Championships is a little bit, I say, harder to win. It's just you're straight into the big team. Well, not the format that they did this year, because it's like, you know, you could basically just turn up and get through to the knockout stages. I didn't agree with that 3-3 on the group stage, but normally you're sort of straight out the groups and you're into the big team straight away. So with the World Cup, you can go progress a little bit further, but you've got a bigger bunch of big teams. And certainly, as you said, when the South Americans turn up and the African nations and all that, like, it sort of makes it a little bit more juicy, doesn't it?
Seaman says, in conversation. Right, now I've got you on, Deco. I've got to ask you this question. With your Arsenal head on, Henry or Bergkamp?
That was an easy question.
I know, but that's when I always say Thierry. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're a goalie. What do you know?
I just felt... I know how to watch out for your back passes.
Outrageous.
I just felt that, you know, obviously for me, I felt Thierry affected the game in more areas. You know, he could get the ball like inside our box almost, or just outside, and then run the whole length of the pitch. And
I know what you mean. I guess I'm slightly biased because Dennis offered me more than Thierry. Thierry would be. Yeah. He'd come short and he'd show, but Dennis got me out of trouble. If I was in trouble, he kind of he'd pop up in an area that I could hit the ball to him, and I always found him available. Thierry, I didn't, so I had to find him a little bit more. So from my point of view, he was better link-up player for me. And I just think, I mean, it's there's nothing in it, to be honest with you, but I've just got a soft spot for Dennis's, you know, no look pass or that little inside ball for Freddie's little runs, and he'd score his fair share as well. And the way he kicked the ball, it was just very Dutch somehow. I mean, how do the Dutch kick it? I don't know, but they just they seem to kick it different than we do.
With style.
The right direction, probably. That's what it is.
No toe poking.
So what about, is another question for you, what is your favourite Arsenal moment? I think I know the answer to this question.
Well, yeah, and I've morphed a bit into a sort of two answers to this. So obviously 89, Arsenal 89 at Anfield, it doesn't really get any better than that. From a feeling point of view, that when Michael goes through and scores, I mean, that moment when it hits the net, it's, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about it now, and it's just a sensational end to an amazing season. It was my first full season at Arsenal, so it was like, wow, is this what it's like every year? Oh.
We've got something in common. My first season, we won the league as well.
But I think the biggest memory that has every emotion going in, but I don't think I played in a game that had every single emotion that you could possibly go through on a football pitch. And that has to be the semi-final against United, the Giggs final, their semi. Yeah. And we lost it. So you'd think, well, why haven't you wiped that from your memory? But from the first minute to the last minute, it was just the biggest roller coaster of a game ever. You know, Beckham scoring, all of that, you know, that everything. It's just, and also in the team, in the dressing room before the game, I can't remember who's right. Somebody, might have been Dennis or someone, said to me, "Oh, the team, you know, Ricey used to put the team sheet up and." Yeah. Alex Ferguson had left a couple of players out because they had the semi-final of the Champions League against Juventus a few days later or the week, whatever. So he'd rested a few, and Giggsy was on the bench. And I think it was Dennis went, "Oh, Dicko, you're lucky so-and-so. Giggsy's on the bench." And I sort of went, I looked up and I went, and I said, "Who's playing?" And he went, "Blomqvist." And I went, and they were like, "You're so lucky." And I went, "Hang on a minute, how is that lucky?" And they were like, "Well, you're not playing against..." I said, "What, you think he's going to sit on the bench the whole time?" I said, "I'll tell you what'll happen." I said, "I'll be running my knackers off chasing Jesper Blomqvist for probably about 75 minutes. And then Giggsy's going to get up with 15 minutes to go, start warming up down the line. And I'm going to look at him and go..." And I swear to God, when he was warming up, he looked over and he went, "Dicko, I'm coming on." And I looked at him and I went, "Oh, for God's sake." So by the time he got on, I was absolutely knackered. Hence my five tackles to try and bring him down, and didn't hit him with any of them. We won't go on what happened after that, eh, Dave? No.
I know, yeah, smashed it above my head. I was moving on when the ball was coming back out. It did hit the back of the net and then come out.
Well, that whole game had every, and obviously it ended in a massive low. But it just, I sat in the dressing room after me and Tony Adams went into their dressing room straight after and said, "Good luck in the final." It was the hardest words out of my mouth I've ever, but I just thought, it was just, I wanted.
By the way, Callum will be loving this because he's a Man United fan.
So, and then we got in the dressing room and I remember sitting there thinking, wow, I've just played in one of the most amazing football matches that's ever been played. It was just bang, bang, bang. When Keane got sent off, he was like, "We've won it." Dennis, go on, what are you doing, Dennis? So I'm changing my answer previously, Thierry Henry.
Brilliant. What, Dicko, what about Arsenal next season?
Hang on. Tails. I don't know. I think, you know, we are in the middle of a project, hopefully, with Arteta. You know, I believe he's a very good coach from what I hear from the training ground. You know, the players enjoy his training and learning from him. But we've fallen so far behind that to get anywhere near where we were, and let's face it, where we were winning the league. Then you know, then it became qualifying for the Champions League, you know, and then it became qualifying for the Europa League, and now it's qualifying for the Europa District under 20s Cup or whatever it's called. And then it's like, so, you know, we are falling so far behind that, you know, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of money, or you go, right, throw everybody out, just play the kids. They're not going to do that. So there's, does he get enough money to get the players he wants in? History would suggest Kroenke might not give him that. So I don't expect that much different from last year.
Do you just buy one or two warriors? You've got Kieran Tierney, mm-hmm. but you haven't got those fighters anymore. That I think there's something to do with the Arsenal culture that's changed since you both were there.
No, I completely agree with you. I think the recruitment has been poor, and we haven't recruited the right. You know, hopefully Ben White comes and that deal gets sealed, because I think he's got the right sort of character. It's a big thunderstorm going on.
Oh wow!
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dog heard it as well. The character of the team has definitely waned, and I think the recruitment has to be based around bringing the whatever youngsters we've got coming through underneath the group that's now. And I don't know off the top of my head whether that's any good or not. We've lost. It's funny, really, because we've lost Xhaka, who we've all been critical of him, and he had a great tournament because he. You know, that the slower international football suited him, and it'll suit him playing in Italy. He'll go and he'll be brilliant for Roma, and I'm sure he'll be a top player. Yeah. But he just wasn't good enough to play in the Premier League at Arsenal as that central midfield player. So we have got huge amount of holes to fill. So even if you sign one or two warriors, you still got to have quality, you know, in order to be able to use that strength to then get. You know, beat the opposition. So I'm really worried about how long this is going to take.
And how long do you think Arteta will get if it's not the best start in the world?
Well, you know, well, the best thing for quite a few managers last season was having no fans in. You know, there's quite a few of them lasted longer than perhaps they would have done. And soon as the grounds are full up, you know, you're going to get that pressure, and you're going to have to play a certain way, because the crowd won't let you play around at the back and keep giving goals away. If you're doing that, then they'll be on the, you know, they'll start making themselves vocal, and then all of a sudden you start launching a few. So he'll come under a lot more pressure next season if they don't have a good start, that's for sure. And they've got the Mighty Bees first game as well. Away.
That'll be a test for them. That'll be a big test.
Can I just ask you something? Sorry, just while you're there, this something's been on my mind. Because there's a whole young generation that has never seen you play, but with the commentary and the FIFA stuff on the computer games, I just wanted to ask you, has that kind of opened you up to loads of people that hasn't, has it endeared you to a younger generation of football fan that has never actually seen you play on the pitch?
Well, you say that. I mean, it works both ways, because my daughter's boyfriend plays FIFA, and every time she comes home from work and he's got me on, she opens the door and says, "Turn me dad off, will you?" So it's not always a good thing. But yeah, I mean, all of this media stuff, as much as we enjoy doing it, it's all, you know, there's a sort of plan going on to keep yourself relevant and keep your face in front of people so they forget, because he'll be the same. You forget how long ago you retired. You know, somebody asked me a while ago, and he said, "How long ago did you retire?" And I went, "About 12. Hang on. Whoa. You know, I'm 20 years next year. 2002.
Are you?
Like, wow.
Where did that go? So
that was where I was just entering the media industry.
There you go.
So, but is it enjoyable to do, though? Do you go in there and do you read the scripts together, or is it just something that's, you know, dialed FIFA. In on? Yeah, the FIFA stuff. Is that
FIFA is absolutely brutal. It's it's the hardest gig I've ever done, because you get, I mean, you obviously know the game, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, of course. It's been going, well, it's been going for over 20 years. I mean, and it's...
But what I'm saying is you've heard it. So every single line, every single word I say obviously has to be recorded, but it all has to be done in order. You all have to do. So you go in and you do 15 days recording, full days spread over about 3 or 4 months, because you can't do more than 3 days on a spin, because your voice goes, because you... I might be in, and you're in the booth for like 6 hours a day, so you might do goals, and they go, right, we're doing 10 minutes of goals. So and they'll go, right, the goal comes in from the right and it's a header, so you have to do, they'll go, and so you do one and you go on the ball and he's got well in the far post and he's headed it back, whatever you say, and you, because it's a goal, you're at the top of your range because you're like screaming it down the microphone. And then they'll go, okay, right, we need another 20 of them, all different, everyone different. And you're like, ah. So you have to do 20 off straight away, because you're in there, time is money, and the longer you stay
finding
in there,
that excitement somewhere as well.
When you've done 20 of them, you go to doing just talking pre-match about, yeah, it's a lovely night and it's the semi-final of the Champions League. So every single version you have to do, you know, it's the semi-final of the Europa League, it's the semi-final of the fourth round of the Champions League, it's like, oh, it's just brutal.
And then do you have to get the player names right, or the, you know, a lot of the foreign players that...
Well, fortunately I don't do player names, that's like the commentator, but so he goes in 2 hours before I go in just to do players names, so he'll be in from 8 till 10 and I turn up at 10 o'clock, and Derek Ray's sitting in in a booth, and he's got his head in the book, and he's saying, he'd probably have to say Messi's name 50 different ways. So he'll go, Messi, 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 Messi. It looks like he's gone mad, and then he'll go, Ronaldo, 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 Ronaldo. And he does that for about 2 hours. It's like mind-numbing. Oh, it's just...
So it's incredible, because obviously the generation that are obviously tech-savvy and love the podcast and stuff... Will, I mean, EA and the FIFA stuff is so huge. I mean, they go around to the different clubs in the Premier League and get players to play against each other and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's huge within the culture.
I've never played one game.
Neither have I.
No, really?
I wouldn't even know how to turn the machine on.
You said about staying relevant, Lee.
Well, as long as my voice is on it, it doesn't matter. I just don't know. I couldn't bear to play and listen to myself. I'd be criticising myself. Why have you said that? Do you know what? I'll tell you this funny story. For there was a guy on Twitter, and he was obviously playing it, and he was having a go at me, and he went, why does Dixon keep saying I'm offside? I wasn't offside. And I was like... So I went on the thing and I went, you do realise it's not live, don't you? He's like, because he was having a go at my commentary, as if I was doing it there and then in his route. And I was like, well, and he just went, you just said I was offside, and it wasn't. He was miles off. And I was like, no, I'm in my house and I'm not playing your game. It's like really weird. This guy was just, I had to let it go in the end, because he was just. Yeah.
Brilliant, mate. I've loved having you on, pal. Thank you very much.
Next, is it? Who have you got on next?
Yeah, just dropped in my number, so I'm waiting.
Kate Moss.
Exactly.
Oh, anytime.
Cheers, Dicko. Thanks for that, mate.
See you
love
soon.
You, pal.
See you later.
Bye.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.